In Entity Framework Core, we don't have lazy loading yet, which means you have to be very explicit about what data it is that you want to load as part of your query. Let's bash on that.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the ASP.NET Monsters. In today's episode, we're going to entity framework things up and include stuff from other objects and do projections, and it's going to be wild and crazy and fun. Take it away.
We'll see how far we get. And to break a little bit with tradition, we don't just have the standard file new project here, although that is how I started. Oh, it's actually an that application that does something.
You are setting a high bar for our viewers. I am not comfortable with this, but carry on.
All right. So what I've done is implemented my own version of Twitter. It is a very bad version of Twitter. And
okay, so you're really raising the bar here. Are you going to do like a public offering too? Or?
We'll see how we're going to start with this just as an example, and then maybe over a series of episodes, we're going to build this out and see what happens.
Sounds good.
Let's just go through the models first. There's a set of classes here that have some relationships between them. So we have the concept of a tweet, which has an ID and a text with a max length of 140, because why not? There's the author of that tweet. So we have the ID that identifies that author, and then an actual navigation property to that specific author. And then we have the concept of likes. So you can We're still going to stick with likes as opposed to the new concept of favorites or hearting. We're going to call it a like. So we have then a relationship over to the likes. And if we look at Twitter user, which was that author, it's just an ID, a username, a bio, and then a link to the list of all the tweets that that person has tweeted over time. And then a like is simply a relationship between a tweet and a user who liked it, and then a unique ID for that tweet. So very simple and I'd say very naive model here. This isn't a model that necessarily is going to scale well or that's the best way to do it, but it will at least illustrate the things that I'm trying to show here. And then our tweet context, very simple. It just inherits from DB context, and then there are two DB sets, one for tweets and one for the users. We're probably not ever going to be querying directly for the likes. We'd only be getting them off of the users, or at least for now. So I didn't create a DB set here for likes. This DB context still knows about them because of the relationship from the tweet to the likes. And when I run this app, on the index here, all I do, I'm passing in the context using DI, and the context on the index page, I'm just saying tweet context.tweets, and I'm taking 10 of them. So instead of taking all of them and passing them to the view, I'm just saying, give me 10, pass it to the view. And then the view renders those in a very simple, naive way. We just have recent tweets, and then it's just an unordered list where we show the tweet text for now. That's all we're going to show. So if we run this, and I have decided to call this application instead of Twitter clone, I've called it RAR to go with the monster theme, of course. And there's I filled this database with some random data using GenFu, which we can look at later, but there's my list of recent tweets. Simple enough. There's 10 tweets that actually look more like blog post titles, but that's okay, or news articles. Now, what I want to do is add the username here, which the Twitter handle of whoever wrote this. So I'm just saying at tweet.author, which is, that's part of my model, right? Dot username. And if I run this now, we'll see that it actually
in the database is on a different table then.
Yes. Yeah. So that's going from the tweet table over to the author table through that author ID. And it's telling me object reference not set to an instance of an object. I'm getting an all reference exception here because that author hasn't been loaded. Now, in the past, this would have just probably automatically worked for you. You might not have realized that it was issuing a second query then at that time when you navigated to the author property. It was issuing a new query and lazy loading and populating that author on the fly.
So this is what would have been called a navigation property in the past then?
Yeah.
Okay.
So now since we don't have that lazy loading, what we have to do is be a little bit more explicit and tell, and you could do this before too, and it was best practice to do this because it is more efficient to generate queries that pull everything back that you need in a single query. We need to tell Entity Framework, give me my tweets, but include the author. So now it's going to do that in a single query.
So this avoids the famous n plus one problem where you think you're doing run query, but you're actually doing an extra query for each row.
Yes, that is correct. And now it actually runs, and the Twitter handles come back as we would have expected it to. And what I did want to show is that by default here, Entity Framework will actually log all the queries to your debug console in Visual Studio.
That is super handy.
It really is, because that was not always that easy to find.
Yeah, it was kind of possible. You could get it if you had like the ultimate version of Visual Studio and stuff, but this is way simpler.
Yeah, and simple is good. We're taking the top 10. It's being passed in as the 10 is passed in as a parameter there, but it's taking the top 10 tweets and joining that with users. So we're getting all that information that we needed. Now, if I wanted to also add a count to the number of likes, and Simon, you're gonna cringe here as I do this, but I'm gonna just add this in here. I'm gonna say I want to show a little heart for the likes, and I want to show a count of how many likes there are for that tweet. And I'm doing that by tweet.likes, which was a list, and then calling count on it to get the number of items in that list. Now, again, if I run this, just like before, it's going to crash because the likes aren't loaded, right? So we should get a null reference exception again. So same thing. Actually, we got an argument null exception this time.
Right, because you've got a collection here that you're trying to get the count of.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we can include multiple things here by saying just adding another include to our ever-growing link query, and just tell it also include the likes.
I saw when you were doing the completion there was also a then include.
Yeah, and we'll look at that. So this can kind of span multiple navigation properties. So it doesn't just have to be the navigation properties of the original tweet. We can kind of get nested and go a little deeper. So my database is not very, this data is pretty uniform in
consistent.
That they all have exactly 3 likes, but that is what's in the database. So that's expected. And yeah, as you said, I mean, if for some reason we also wanted to include, remember Twitter user had a list of tweets on it. I don't know why you would ever want to do this, but you could say then include, and now I actually get all the properties of author here, so I can say include the tweets from the author.
So the syntax here is different from what we would have seen with EF6.
It is a little different, yeah.
Yeah.
So in EF6, sometimes what you would do is it was string-based, and we'd just say include author.tweets. So you would kind of give it the hint that way.
Wasn't there a way of doing it with a link too?
There was a way to do it with
a
link.
Like a select statement or something weird like that?
The select statement was more of a, that was for projections.
Oh, I thought you could do like include like a collection and then select on that collection. So if you had something like a collection of tweets and you wanted to include like the username for each one of those, then you could do it.
Right.
Using select statement.
Yeah, so the syntax is a little different. What's nice about this one is that I think it's fairly concise. We get to, and we do get the code completion on there, so it knows that now we're dealing with an author if we do then includes, and you can keep nesting these. Of course, you do want to be careful because the more things you start to add, like in this case, we're starting to do some circular things, and when we're including the tweets again. But you have to be careful, because sometimes you can craft a query where you end up pulling back the entire database. So even doing this where I include the likes, in reality, I don't need all those likes. All I need is a count of the likes, and probably there's a better way to structure that query so that we're just querying for the count, or maybe that count is actually stored in the database somewhere and incremented when someone likes it. Would be a more efficient way to do that in the long run. But that's the basics that I wanted to show, at least in terms of how we do includes and how you specify explicitly what data it is you need for this page or for whatever it is that you're trying to do with your context. But the method of doing includes for Entity Framework Core. And we'll probably extend this a little more in the future. We're going to look at, we'll probably extend the model a bit, which will give us a chance to look at Entity Framework migrations and how those work in EF Core. And then we'll look at things like projections and like projecting to maybe a view model in this case, because rather than binding the view directly to our Entity Framework models, our entities. So there's a few different places we're going to take this, and I'm not going to share the code just yet. We'll probably wait for a couple episodes here until we have something that shows a little bit more best practice, as opposed to here where I'm just trying to show this specific concept.
Great. Well, that's fabulous. Thanks a lot, Dave. So thank you, everyone, for joining us on this latest episode of ASP.NET Monsters. Remember to like, comment, share, and send us an email with your comments and questions. We'll read everything.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
And see you next week.